The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. All the way in the upper left, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Hey, good to be here.
Thanks for coming, Beth. What was that you were doing in our little picture
they
snap?
They were supposed to be like claw things, but I have
little
small kitty hands,
claws.
So they probably don't look very scary.
It was pretty good, actually. It was pretty good. How is your Halloween costume coming along?
I don't have one.
Oh.
I'm still undecided about how much candy to buy, although I think I better buy some.
I think you should.
In this neighborhood, so.
And then make a long tube that you can just drop it down.
The trebuchet, Beth. The trebuchet.
Yeah, trebuchet.
That's like a catapult.
Then they'll have to run across the street to fetch it.
You could slingshot it at the children.
There will be gloves and mask. I mean, they shouldn't be trick-or-treating, according to the CDC, but...
It's true. We will survive.
If they come to the door and I don't have any candy, I'll feel even worse, because that happened to me the first year I moved away from home.
Oh.
And I felt awful not having candy. So,
how is the trick or treating outlook in your neighborhood, Professor Mara Livesey?
You know, last year was our first year in this neighborhood, and I got the whole big Costco size bag of candy, and we had maybe five groups of people stop by.
Wow!
I go through six of those bags in 3 hours. I'm in the wrong hood, obviously.
Obviously, I mean, I was pretty bummed. I was dressed up and everything in my Dolores Umbridge outfit, and no one comes by to see it.
We're gonna have to pipe you some trick or treaters.
Shuttle service.
You guys are all welcome to come over to my house and help. Although I know you can't really do that either.
We could. It would just need some long pipes, like Jim was talking about.
Yeah.
Professor Dave Chow is here. I know full well what the trick-or-treating situation is in our shared neighborhood. I think you said before, you and Marcy aren't usually, the light's not on, right?
No, we're usually out and about. You know, we're not here. But this is the ideal year for me to be giving away clam chowder like I've always wanted to, you know? Piping hot. It's, you know, relatively sterile. I mean, you know, I can borrow that PVC tube from Jim and just...
And you can just ladle it in.
Darn right. I think it would work.
Every time you bring this up, I know that at least half of us are thinking like you're giving away these tiny little bowls. But I always think that you're just ladling it into the
one
kids.
Ladle at a time into the.
Here's what you do. Get a funnel and some balloons and just pour it in the balloons, tie them off, and then you can just toss them to the kids.
Wow. It's going to be like clam chowder water balloons, Jim.
Yes.
No.
By the way, kid, here, I forgot the crackers.
Professor Heather Hill is here with us today. How you doing, Heather?
I am just thinking about chowder and balloons, and I'm okay. I'm okay. This is quite enjoyable. How are you?
I know you had a tough week with a deadline. How did that go?
I got something in. So
excellent.
Actually, I went and checked. I sent it in to the liaison between the publisher and myself, and I looked back at her original email, and she actually gave me a deadline of the 16th, so I got it in a day early. Yay!
Wow. They probably never had that before.
Yeah, well, so I'm okay. I can
awesome. Them. I was wondering, I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to interrupt.
Thank you. You sent me a very sweet text. Thank you.
Heather is ready for catharsis, and we will deliver it like so many steaming balloons full of clam chowder.
Her Halloween will be in bottled form.
Stephen, good to see you here, Professor Stephen Manning.
To you, Matt, and others.
Excellent. So based on where you're located, what's the trick-or-treating situation?
Similar to Beth's, we're, four streets over?
Okay.
Yes, so yeah, whatever she gets, we get too.
Busy.
Neighborhood, similar situation.
Sure. Well, it's fun when you're spending your money that way to make little kids happy, but I think we could be, even though we heard the whole thing from like a year ago, the whole Saturday, daylight savings, blue moon and all that. I think that with the weather not cooperating, we could be in, plus the pandemic, for a very, very lean year. I guess what the data is still out on all of that. So Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us today.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Jim?
Well, so far so good. As well as can be expected in the midst of grading midterms.
Of course. Absolutely. I was going to say, you had mentioned you're in the middle of looking at midterms. What a wonderful, wonderful time of year.
Unfortunately, I have to do more than look. That's the problem.
That is true. You probably should give it a little a deeper dive than just looking.
Usually.
It always takes longer than you think it's going to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. The dreaded piles. We have them all in our lives. We're being joined today by our executive producer, Professor Jason Roach, in my lower right-hand corner, too.
Hey, great to hear you. I'm in top middle for my look. I don't know why, but glad to be here wherever I am, whether I'm Jan, Marcia, Alice, whoever I am in the Brady Bunch, I'm glad to be here.
And, hey!
Got there in the background today. You might hear them. I'll try to mute myself whenever.
I think you're Charlie Weaver from the block.
Can you say hi? Can you answer?
Hey!
Professor's buddy.
Can you love that
tell them what you want for Halloween this year? What are you going to be?
Pikachu!
He's not going to be Pikachu. You're going to be Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon. Oh,
love Toothless.
Oh, okay. Cool. Very cool. Well, folks, I tell you what, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. And if you stump the panel, you can win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Professors, we have been graced by these wonderful questions sent in, thanks to Professor Jason Roach, from some of his students. Hello, profs. Here are a list of 10 questions about movies made by the Disney Company. Mm. My name is Justice Lee, and I'm a sophomore in electrical engineering at Detroit Mercy. Hopefully this list of trivia questions I came up with will confuse you all. Okay.
That's not hard.
Where are we again?
Mission accomplished. Let's end the show.
Okay, done. Good night. Drive home safely.
I don't think Kansas anymore.
What is the highest grossing movie, and this would be not adjusted for inflation, the highest grossing movie of all time made by the Disney Company?
Frozen.
It's not Frozen.
Up?
Mm. Not Up.
Okay, so is it a Pixar? Well, Pixar is Disney now, so I mean.
Toy Story?
It's not Toy Story, that's a good guess.
Not Fantasia?
Nope.
Is it adjusted for inflation, too?
Actually, it's not adjusted for inflation, so it would be relatively recent.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Beauty and the Beast, Lion King.
Moana?
Nope.
What, like Mulan? No.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Are we talking Disney animated, or are we talking?
It just says Disney's highest grossing movie of all time.
One of the Avengers movies, then.
I mean, that's a pretty good way of looking at it, but there's one franchise that's just a little bit higher than the MCU.
Oh, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yes.
It's got to be, which one, though?
Rise of Skywalker?
It was not the last one, I can tell you that. Right
Probably not the original, then, either.
It wasn't Rogue One.
No, it's Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, was the highest grossing movie of all time. Mm-hmm. About 6 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. What was the first movie that Disney Studios ever put out there?
Snow White.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Heather got it. Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Feature length film, yeah.
Feature film. That's right. Feature. It was also the very first animated feature of all time. Mm-hmm. Who was the voice actor for the villain Scar in The Lion King?
Jeremy Irons.
And a wonderful, wonderful voice it was.
Yes, it was.
And then was he Die Hard 2?
Or was he 3? 2, maybe 2. Maybe
I think 2. I think it was 2.
No, I think Timothy Oliphant was that's 4. I can't remember.
It's a land of sequels, folks. It's a land of sequels. I think we've already heard this, but we'll fill in the gaps. What company did the Walt Disney Company buy for $7.4 billion in 2006?
It wasn't me.
Lucasfilm?
It wasn't Lucasfilm.
Pixar.
Pixar.
And all the fun that comes with it. So
I'd like to point out that Lucasfilm founded Pixar, and then Disney also bought Lucasfilm. So, you know, it goes around, comes around. You know?
Like I said, I'll sell off cheap. You know, I mean, I'm easy.
What famously misquoted line does Darth Vader say to Luke Skywalker during their fight scene in Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back?
Luke, you dropped something.
I am your father.
Right, so that is the misquoted version. Yes.
Yeah.
I believe the exchange is, I prepared my whole life for this. What did Obi-Wan tell you about your father? He told me enough. He told me you killed him. The line is, no, I am your father. Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What planet was Luke Skywalker raised on?
Tatooine.
Very good.
Nice.
Technically not a Disney movie, but a property owned by Disney.
Yeah. Well, they own everything now anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's true. What was the name of Aladdin's pet monkey in Aladdin?
Abu.
Abu was his name.
Gesundheit.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you.
That was a great movie.
Oh, I love so that's good. One of my all-time favorites.
Me
one
too. Robin Williams, just hysterical. Oh,
absolutely.
So did anybody see the Will Smith one?
Yeah.
And?
Pretty decent, actually.
Okay. All right. Just curious.
There's a new spin that modernized the story a bit that I particularly appreciated. A little bit of a feminism thrown in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. All right. Just curious.
Last one here. These were good questions, Justice. Thanks for sending them in. What is the name of the dentist? You remember that some of the final scenes in Finding Nemo take place in the dentist's office. What was the name of the dentist as evidenced by his name tag in those?
Oh, in Sydney, Australia, because Dory keeps saying his name.
Yeah, it wasn't like I yank him or anything like that, was it? I mean,
no, it was not.
Oh, criminy.
I can't remember.
Was it also after like one of the prime ministers or something like that? Was it an inside joke?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. It's the initials are PS, if that helps. Dr. P something, S something.
Pete.
Peter.
The last name Shark.
No, but that's great. That would have been good.
Yeah,
I had no,
was it Patrick?
It says it's Dr. Philip Sherman. I'm sure there's a joke there, but I'm not.
There has to be.
On paper, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to come up with a name like that and get away with it, you know, so.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Just keep swimming.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 8 professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. The professors return to answer more questions in less than a minute, but first, it's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your holiday host, Kathy Bush, and today we have our regulars back with us. What does the 12th night actually mean?
It's the 12th night after Epiphany.
Yeah, it is Epiphany.
It is. It's feast day, known to Canadians as Little Christmas. That. We cannot take down our tree until after Little Christmas. Oh, that is a family tradition.
And then you can put it in front or what?
Yes. And it is watched and stalked as they take it away. Yeah, there's a truck that comes around and throws all of the dried out limbs.
My gosh. There. Her father is a trash fanatic. Oh, it has to be picked up. And
all right.
Yeah, it has to be done times that way.
Then they get put through that wood chipper in Fargo.
That's it.
All right, we've got another set of questions sent in by Kelson Connors. Dear Profs, here's a list of 10 questions about one of my favorite games, the game of lacrosse. A passing grade is 8 out of 10. Pretty high standards there, Jason.
Very.
Way to hold the standards high.
That's good. What can I say?
How many players are on the field for a game of lacrosse for one team? That's what I was
saying. Oh, one team.
One team. Okay.
7.
11.
8.
12.
9.
10.
I haven't heard it yet.
7?
It's 10. No, yeah.
10. Okay.
Didn't
10.
Win for the old Kendra right in the middle. It's a goaltender, three defense, three midfield, three attack. So
okay.
That's a total of 10. Yep. This foul occurs when a player uses the handle of a cross between their hands to make contact with an opponent.
Cross checking?
The cross check, yeah. Mm. You cannot.
Same as in hockey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely.
A love tap.
Mm-hmm. Because it's really great to measure things in yards. No, it's not. It's super duper stupid. How many yards is a lacrosse field from end line to end line?
120.
I'm going to give it to you. It's 150. But, you know, yeah, that was pretty good for off the top of your head, Jason. Very, very good.
That is a lot of running.
Yeah, it is.
Than a soccer pitch.
I've had a lot of stuff go off the top of my head in the last couple of years.
Oh my
Put the
God.
Glasses back up there.
Oh, my God.
But it exposes your knowledge, Jason. Yes.
There you go.
Nice.
Put on your hockey hats for this one. After what two events would a face-off occur in lacrosse?
Out of bounds?
And a goal.
And a goal. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Out of bounds and a goal. True or false, on an offensive attack, you're allowed 7 players on the offensive side of the ball.
7? Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a power play right there.
Yeah, that's kind of like squeezing.
False.
I would say false. You got to be back on defense, right?
Right. It is false. You're only allowed 6. Still a high number, though. Yeah, still.
Can you go back to the previous question on when you'd have a face-off in hockey? Out of bounds and a goal?
Oh, well, lacrosse.
I was just trying to give – we're talking lacrosse here. I was trying to give you something to build on.
Yeah, but same with hockey, though, Steven.
I thought the previous question was on hockey, wasn't it?
No. I was just saying put your hockey hats on.
He was giving us a hint.
Yeah. Okay. Doing my best here.
Sorry.
It's all right. How many feet is a defense player's stick for lacrosse?
4.
It's longer.
Oh.
6.
It's 6 feet long. That's,
wow.
Wow. That,
that's a shepherd's hook.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Long, long sticks.
Man, I can almost serve up clam chowder with that.
Is the game of lacrosse played by way of what are called periods or by way of what are called quarters?
Quarters.
It is quarters.
Quarters.
For lacrosse. Yep. Mm-hmm. What was Detroit Mercy's last MAC championship win? This is unfortunate. In what year?
What year?
1983.
Well, we just got lacrosse in the late 2000s, so that should.
I'm going to say 2014.
I'm going to give it to you. 2013 was our last MAC win, unfortunately. We're playing big dogs. We're playing Notre Dame, Ohio State, Boston College. It's tough out there, but they have a lot of fun. And as per your instructions, Professor Roach, all of my data was found at the following links. Like, this is hardcore.
Oh, there we go. Properly citing.
Yes, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Okay. Let's get one more set of questions from Ahmad Hassan, another one of Jason's students. I think there's a trend here, but there's no introductory paragraph, so we'll take it as we go here. What vitamin or a mineral is required for the absorption of calcium? I'm looking at our biochemistry.
Vitamin D.
Yeah, I think we're talking a lot about vitamin D in this case. By the way, revealed in a paper just published about 48 hours ago, it's in the top 3 for the people who know everything about COVID-19. You're probably not getting enough vitamin D to be able to have a good immune response. So get out in the sun, you vampire.
Get off the laptop.
There's no hope for us up at these latitudes. You got to start taking a supplement in the winter.
That's right. That's right.
I had to do that last winter. I was on vitamin D supplement.
Yep. Can you give me an example of a food that's high in vitamin D?
Does vitamin D milk count?
It's fortified.
Yeah, I mean.
How about broccoli?
Spinach?
I think. Yeah, what were you saying, Heather?
Spinach.
Yeah, I think it's our leafy vegetables. They do the job.
Kale, chard.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Collards.
What is a nickname for vitamin B12 or B2? Sorry. Bad vision.
What?
Niacin
or thiamine or.
No, thiamine's B6.
No.
It's not niacin.
Doesn't it start with the letter R?
Riboflavin?
Riboflavin, yeah.
Oh, rib snack. Oh,
ribs. Oh,
my God.
Oh, that sounds good right about now. Ribs. Oh,
my gosh. I think I'm seeing a little bit of a nutritional trend here, professors. How many grams of sugar are in a 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew?
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Where's my bottle?
Got to be like 64 grams, or something.
Yeah, it's like 60 something, wasn't it?
Jason, your guess was
20.
It's 73, folks. 73.
Wow.
Now so you much. Know why I lectured with that on my desk.
Diet Mountain Dew is pretty good, though.
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, my God.
It's still got a zillion milligrams of caffeine in it,
and all the bromine in it.
According to this question, how many grade A large size eggs can you eat before you've reached your daily average for blood serum cholesterol?
Two.
So Dave says zero. Mara says two. It's one. You know, so everybody's in the same.
What's the difference?
Pretty good. Oh, my gosh. Eggs more than anything. I know I've mentioned it here before. Like, since the moment I born to today, it's like one month, they're the greatest health food ever. The next month, oh, don't eat too many. It's just. No one ever comes
but
to
deviled eggs are just good all the time.
Oh, that yes.
Sounds great. I would eat 100 right now if I could, and I'm not.
Oh,
that's very good. Cool hand, Luke, of you.
Oh, my gosh. What food, it's a fruit, that might help, is known to stimulate HGH production because of its sesquiterpenoids? So human growth hormone is HGH, right, Mara?
Right.
What food?
Grapefruit.
Apricots.
Persimmons.
I'll give you some multiple choice, and it might help. The choices are durian, goji, jackfruit, guava.
Guava.
I go goji.
It goes to Jason and Mara. It's goji is what it says here. Goji is good. Now, it especially works if you buy the ones that are dipped in dark chocolate from Costco.
Yes. Also, durian is like trash food. It makes me vomit.
It's really bad. It's
so bad.
Really bad.
I'm tolerant. I'm tolerable.
Oh.
Right, exactly.
So Costco has chocolate covered goji?
Just stop. Just
hold on. I'll be right back.
I think I'm gonna have to have a trip when we get finished here.
The only problem / good thing, Jim, is you have to buy it in like the pillowcase, you know, a survey.
Well, oh, I see.
I got the wrong one. This is a Kayet blueberry.
Oh,
those are good.
I got goji right next to it.
That's good. Yeah.
Next time I'll get the goji.
We're not.
I was gonna say, yet. Man, that was a quick run.
Yeah.
So, of course, everybody knows the thing that makes us, one of the things that make, oh, thank you. One of the things that makes mammals so special is our production of milk to feed our young. It's the perfect food. It's got water. It's got salt. It's got protein. It's got sugar. It's got all sorts of fun stuff, fat. But what percentage of whole milk is water?
95.
You're just a little bit over. It says here 87% of milk.
Okay.
There's a lot of fat in milk, so we'll let it that one slide.
Milk, yeah.
Thanks for the questions. That was awesome, Ahmad. Thanks everybody for these great questions. Everybody's on their A game, and I think you know what that means. As we get closer to the end of the show, it's time to go to the great list of questions from the Burroughs family. what will we be asked today? Who knows? Here we go. Oh, okay. This is pretty interesting. Do you have a favorite newscaster?
Sure. If John Oliver could be a newscaster, yeah. I'd choose him.
That's pretty good. I like that. I like that a lot.
Actually, I kind of like Brian Williams. On he comes on NBC at 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the way he does the news.
Sure. Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow.
Okay. Yep.
Well, I was thinking of them more as commentators, but.
Yeah.
I got to go with David Muir from ABC News.
He's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, he's pretty straightforward.
And he's got a good, strong Syracuse background and some personal connections there, but he's very, very polished.
What does it say, Jason, that I knew you were either going to say something like that or you're going to say, and he's a Steelers fan. You know, on the right yes, side.
He
of
should
the,
be. I don't know if he is or not.
Heather, what were you going to say?
Kurt Severide.
An oldie but goodie.
No, I mean, it's, you know.
Along with John Chancellor.
Yeah, I was thinking of John Chancellor myself.
Yeah, see, I was thinking Walter Cronkite because then.
Of all time, I think I'd say Walter Cronkite. Yeah.
Yeah, it was either Walter Cronkite or Lloyd Robertson, which was the Canadian Walter Cronkite. And he just retired like 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
He's it been.
Have to be somebody alive did it.
No, he's not necessarily. Oh. No, not necessarily. That's okay. I'm a little bit surprised because of the first thing that jumped into my mind. And none of you went down that route.
What, Bill Bonds?
Local and go for Huel Perkins, you know? I mean, it's just, he's been there for like most of my life. I don't know what to say. He's on Fox, which is a little bit tricky, but, you know, it's still interesting.
Or Devin Scillian, or who's the Channel 7 anchor now? I don't even know.
What about Ron Burgundy?
There you go.
Day Class in San Diego.
Day Class. On Channel 4. She was good.
I think 7 is actually Glenda Lewis now is the lead, Diane Lewis's daughter. So The time has come, unfortunately, to say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Even.
Bye.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
Dave.
See ya.
Mara.
See you later.
Jason.
Toodles.
And Beth.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.